Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Tzadik Tesim and Aleph. We are on the very first line, the last words in the line of the Rosh Tevos of Tanur Rabbanon. So we learn in a Braisa, Yiros HaTachtonas, the lower curtains of the Mishkan, Shel Tchela, Shel Shok Argaman, Shel Tola, Shinri, Veshel Shesh. They were made of blue wool, they were made of purple wool, the scarlet wool, and of linen. Ve'el Yonos, and the upper ones of the Mishkan, Shel Maisi Izim, that was made of goat hair. So the Gemara now says, Ugdola HaChaf Mashinem Yonos, Yoser Mimashinem B'Tachtonos. That the Gemara now says that it took greater expertise for the making of the upper curtains as opposed to the lower curtains. Why? Whereas regards to the lower ones, it says that every woman who was wise, she spun it with her hands. But with regards to making the upper ones, it says that any woman who's hearts inspired them, and with wisdom they spun the goat hair. Now, Rashi points out that this phrase, that hearts inspired them, that suggests that a greater degree of wisdom. And apparently, spinning the goat's hair curtains required a greater skill than spinning the various other kinds of wool. So now the Gemara is going to mention that on a similar note as well, the Gemara now says, V'tanya Mishumar B'Nechemia, Shotup Izim, V'tovim B'Neizim, that it was taught in a Braisa, in the name of Rabbi Nechemia, that the hair was rinsed on the goats, and it was even spun from the goats, which required, obviously, a great deal of skill. So the Gemara was just mentioning this, Agav mentioning the Inyanim of the Mishkan. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the Inyanim of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shtei Gustros, when it came to the two balconies on the same side, the Gemara says, you're going to be Chai, because that's the way the Levium carry on the Mishkan when they carried the boards onto the wagons. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Agolos, when it comes to the wagons in the Mishkan, Tachtein Uvenei Vetidein Rishus HaRabim, that the areas beneath them and the areas between them and the areas on their sides all have the status of the Rishus HaRabim. This is why, continuing what we mentioned last time, that if it was full of stuff in the middle, then the Gemara had said that on the yesterday's daf, the Gemara was trying to ask Kashas, and that the Gemara had mentioned a lot that would not in fact be considered, right? That was when we said Amavir Dalad Amrish with Shama Korah would be putter. So this is in line with what we said on yesterday's daf. The Gemara says Amar Abaye Bein Agala Agala Kimla Orech Agala, that the space between one wagon alongside is equal to the length of the wagon, Vikama Orech Agala, and how long was the length of a wagon? The Gemara now says that it is Chamesh Amos. The Gemara says Lamali, so why do I need the wagon to be 5 amos long? But Arba Palgasaga, the length of 4.5 amos would have sufficed over here. And Rashi just points out that we said before, the beams, if they were going to be on 3 stacks, each of an amma and a half, so then you're going to get to 4.5. And even if you assume the other way, that it was going to be 4 stacks, each one an amma, then you even have a whole amma left. So for sure, you don't need it. So the Gemara now says, Kihechi delidche krushim, that the answer is, you needed the wagon to be 5 amos in order that the space remains in between so the beams will not be pressed against each other, in which case it would lead to a problem. So therefore, they wanted to give a little bit extra space. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rava, the Gemara continues, Tzide Agala Kimul Rochav Agala, that the two sides of the wagon are going to be, that they apparently were the same width as the wagon itself. Vekama Rochav Agala, and how much was the width of the wagon? Shtei Amos Mechta was 2.5 amos. So the Gemara now says, Lama Li, so why do I need the wagon to be 2.5 amos wide? Amsa Apalga Saga, the width of 1.5 amos would have been enough. Rashi points out that the boards were later atop, they were on top of the wagon, and if you had a width of less than 2.5 amos, it would have been enough. And if you say they wanted to allow the possibility of laying some boards lengthwise inside the wagon's walls, then Rashi points out that even if you have a width of an amma and a half, that would have been enough for the boards. It could have been laid lengthwise on the amma wide side. It would have also been fine. So the Gemara answers, Kehechi delo lidadu krushim, that they didn't want the boards to move around. So since they had to make sure that they weren't move around, then you needed a width of 2.5 amos in order to make sure that there was a wide enough base so that the boards could lay upon that base over there. Because if it was any narrower, Rashi points out, then it would probably tip over, where the side of the scale wouldn't be even. And then it would tip over on one side, it would be way too heavy, and therefore you needed this exact size, exact measurement. So now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, Ella dekaimalan derech rishus rabim sheshes ra'ama, but we mentioned many times that the main road in a Rishus HaRabim was always considered 16 amos. That's the size. It's always 16 amos. And where do we learn it out? And we learn it out on a government of Mishkan. We learn it out from the Mishkan, the fact that the Mishkan had, specifically the wagons over here, had the space between is 16 amos. But now we're telling me that it's only 15. Why did you get the cheshbon of 15? Rashi points out, because you get the length of each amma is going to be, the length of each wagon, rather, sorry, is 5 amos. So then we have, and we had, you had five, that's 10 amos, and then you have a rochav of, you have a space in between them of 5 amos, so that's only going to be 15 amos. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara says, amsa yasira hava, there was really an extra ama on the width of the road that they went on with the Mishkan. The Have Kai ben Levi, because there was a Levi who would stand there, the chi mishdalfe kroshim avinakilu, that if one of the boards would start falling off, so that he would make sure to stop it from falling off by standing behind there and making sure that he would catch them. And Rashi just pointed out that over there that really was a half an amma on each side, that he was standing behind it and there was a half an amma space on each side, and he was running alongside there to make sure that if any of the boards were slipping, he would straighten them up and fix it. Okay, fine. With that, we're ready to continue the Mishnah. Again, this is all Shitas Rashi. Tosos and other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, but again, simplicity's sake, we're going to keep Rashi. Can look at Tosos for another explanation of the Gemara. Now, the Mishnah continues discussing Hotzah, the transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh. The Mishnah discusses now chulias habor, that if you have the case of the bank of a pit, literally, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which Rashi just points out, by the way, is when they dig a pit, they used to take the dirt and form a rim around the pit. And Rashi just points out that's similar to what we would do, put around pits nowadays. People put a rock around it, right, to protect it. So they used to do that apparently with the actual dirt of the pit itself. Ve'asela, and also if you have a rock in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, shen gvoin asara, which are 10 tfachim high, v'rach banamra, and they're 4 tfachim wide. I mean, the case of the rock is going to be clear. We're going to see that we're talking about the surface of the rock is 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, the sides of the rock are 10 tfachim high. So it's basically its owner, Shus HaYachid. Then, Hanota Mehem, if someone takes one of the objects from them and places it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, v'hanosin al gaban, or if you lift an object from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and place it on them, chayev, you're going to be chayev because you transferred a Rosh from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Pachas Magen, however, if the dimensions are going to be less than that, it's less than 4 tefachim wide or less than 10 tefachim high, then Patr, someone would not be chayev for transferring their Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because you didn't have a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's not a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Yachid halachically. So now the Gemara analyzes the Mishnah, where it says, why does the Mishnah have to use the Lashon of the bank of the pit in the rock? Why doesn't it just simply say that we're talking about a case of a pit and a rock? So Rashi just points out that the Mishnah doesn't have to tell you that the bank itself is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, and the object was taken from the top of the bank. But in the case of the bank, then would have been, you could leave it out altogether, because that's exactly the case of the rock. We have the case of the rock we mentioned before, is exactly 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall. So that would be a complete repetition. So rather, the Mishnah has to be telling us the case of the rock is different. The case of the rock is that the surface is 10 tefachim high, meaning it's 10 tefachim high and there's just a yochid. And the case of the pit is a chiddush, that even something that's 10 tefachim deep, even going down, is 10 tefachim deep, is still considered a rishus hayachid halachically. So, but Rashi continues them, but if that's the case, then why does he have to mention the case of the bank? Just say that the Mishnah is talking about a case of, the only chiddush that we need is the case of a pit. So you have a case of a pit and a case of a rock, and that would be enough. So the Gemara says, Misayel el Rabbi Yochanan, this, the fact that the Mishnah Dafka does mention the case of Chulia Sabor, the bank of the rock, is a support for Rabbi Yochanan. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Bor v'chulyasa mitztarfin la'asara, that the depth of a pit and the height of its bank are going to combine to form the 10 tfachim mechitza that you need to create a reshus hayachid. So for example, if you have a pit that's 8 tfachim and the bank is 2, that would create the reshus hayachid, and someone who carries from there, and would carry from there the reshus rabbim, and vice versa, would be chayav. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Tanan Abihachi." We also have a raya from a brisa for Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, "Bor b'Rishus Rabbim." That if you have a pit in the Rishus Rabbim, Amuka Asara Rechaba Arba, and there's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, Ein Memalin Hamina B'Shabbes. Turn to the next Amud. Ela Im Kein Asula Mechitza Gavoa Asara Tefachim. You're not allowed to fill the bucket on Shabbos unless you have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim around. So now, just quickly, the pit itself is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. It's considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid halachically. It's going to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So therefore, if you draw a bucket of water, then obviously that would be Hotzah, then you'd be Chaya for taking from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah HaRabbim, because it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And if you have a Mechitza, a Sarat tefachim, then what has that changed? In this way, Rashi points out, then you have made the pit itself and the area around it as well as Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore, then you'd just be transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is totally mutter to do on Shabbos. And the Braisa continues, the Braisa, V'ein shosin amina b'shabbos, and also, you're not allowed to, a person's not, if there is no mechitza again, you're not allowed to drink from it on Shabbos, elem ken nechnes la rosho verubo, unless someone extends the pit, extends his body, that he, majority of his body, into the pit itself. Since if the major portion of his body over Rishus HaYachid, there's no longer any concern that he's going to withdraw the kli into the Rishus HaRabim. So that's what the Braisa says over here. So now what about if a person wants to drink directly from your mouth and not use a kli whatsoever? So there, the Gemara in Erevin, good to remember, is the same daf as this one, Tadik Tess in Erevin, the Gemara says explicitly that even if you don't have Rosh HaVeruba, if you just want to drink you just stick your mouth out and you want to drink from the boar, that is going to be mutter. And, and it's Roshonim are bothered by the, why don't you have Otsa into your body, that the fact that the water travels in. So Tos is over there, just explain that it's considered Hanacha in your mouth, and after that it's already considered Batel, and therefore it's going to be mutter to drink directly with your body. So now the Braisa continues with boar, V'chol Yasum, et Tarfin La'asara. That the pit and its bank is going to combine to form the 10 tefach mechitza that's going to consider the Rishus Yachid. Rabbi Yochanan, we see explicitly, is basically Raya Beferish in the Braisa here. So the Mara now asks a question. The Mara says, Baimene Rav Mordechai Mirava. So Rav Mordechai asks the question of Rava, Amud Birishus HaRabim Gavah Asar Rechav Arba, that if you have a post or a column, and the Rishus HaRabim that's 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, Vizarak Benach Agabav, and someone standing in the Rishus HaRabim threw an object and landed on top of this column, Mahu, what's going to be the halacha? Mi amrin hari akira bi isser, do we assume because he lifted it out in an isser away from the Rishus HaRabim, amrin anach v'isser, we could assume also that he placed it down in an isser away, meaning that it's now in the Rishus HaYachid, and therefore we have an akira Rishus HaRabim, anach and Rishus HaYachid, you're for sure going to be chayav. O dilma kevam demakam ptur ka'asa, maybe you could say the other way. The object comes into a Rishus HaYachid from a Makom Ptur because it came from an area above 10 Tfachim in Rishus HaRabim, which you know an area above 10 Tfachim in Rishus HaRabim is considered a Makom Ptur, and therefore, therefore you would not say that you are going to be Chayav. The question that all Rishonim are very bothered by this is that we said explicitly in the Braisa on Dav Vav Amar Aleph that someone carries out an object from the Chanus into the Paltia Derech Stav, that if you carry it from the store, which is a Rishus HaYachid, into the public area, which was like a plaza area, right, through the benches, which is considered a Makom Ptur, you're going to be Chayav. So we learn clearly that if you go from a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim Derech Makom Ptur, one is clearly going to be Chayav. So then what was the Shaila of Mordechai that would not be explicit based on the Braisa and Daf Vav? So Tosafot have a couple of good answers that it went and the type of angle that it went in was created by Koach Kocho, and therefore that's why it was going to be, but that was different, that's why Mordechai's answer was different. The Ramban just says that maybe over here, and when we're talking about Maver Chepetz from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachim, Derech Makom Ptur here, maybe because it's not Mukaf Mechitzos over here. Since it's not Mukaf Mechitzos, so therefore, we would assume that maybe in that situation, that this case would be different. And therefore, because there was no Mechitzos in our case, so then it would be a little bit different. So now the Gemara continues, the Gemara, so either way, so that we'll try to fit that in with the Hemshech of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Amar Lei Masnisini. So they wanted to respond to him, and they said that it's Beferish HaMishnah. So as the Shalal of Yosef, so he asked Rav Yosef the same question. Amar Lei Masnisini, he said, it's our mission as well. Amar Lei Asnishmai, so he tried the third time to go a different Amorah. He went to Abaye, he says, do you know the answer to my question? Or Mordechai asked him, Mishael, Amar Lei Masnisini. So he said, they all kept answering the same answer. So Amar Lehu, so then Mordechai said back to all three of them, Kuchu Baroka Dehadade Teapisu, that you're all spitting the same spit. What is this? What's going on in here? You're giving all the same Tochak answer from the Mishnah. I didn't want that answer. It's not a good answer. So they said to him, they said, Amar Lei Vadla Tispra, what's the problem explaining the Mishnah? Vatzna, and our Mishnah learned, and our Mishnah said, Hanota Mehen Venotal Gaban Chayev, that someone who takes from them, lifts an object from them into Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be Chayev. So just the Lafi, the Ramban, this makes a lot of sense over here. The Mishnah is saying that someone who, like a rock, let's say, it has no Hekev Mechitzos, and now, Shema Minah, that we're learning out that even without a Hekev Mechitzos, we still assume that someone who has Meneach HaGabav takes it out from there, even though your Shaila is different about Meneach Mechitzos, here there was Mechitzos, there was no Mechitzos with the rock, and the rock, explicitly, the rock case in the Mishnah is explicitly going to be Chayev. So, Amar Lehu, Dilma Masnisin B'macha. Maybe our Mishnah is dealing case of a needle, that when it comes to the needle, that the distance to the rock of the needle, it has to go a very small amount, and then there's no area that's going to walk up to her, maybe it'll be be different. So the Gemara says that also though, it's impossible, it wasn't lifted a tiny drop into the Makom Ptur before reaching the top of the rock. So the Chora, our case is from the, even a very small amount, but still it's enough. It went through Makom Ptur a little bit, so it should still be a raya from our Mishnah. So if Mordechai wants to answer, no, maybe the case of our Mishnah is the Islay Morasha. The rock had a small thing sticking out just below 10th Fachim, and this small amount is going to have the status of as a Rishus HaYachid, because it's going to be, like mentioned, Chori Rishus HaYachid has the status of Rishus HaYachid, and then according to him, so then in that case, you can make the assumption again that our Mishnahs are talking about a case that it never came in through the Makom Ptur at all, only came directly onto this Morasha, the protrusion that was sticking out. The Gemara says Inami de Ramya Becharitza, or the Mishnah is also talking about a case maybe it's sitting on a small hole on top of the rock, in which case it also came out without going through the Makom Ptur and never came to the Makom Ptur of the 10th Fachim. So basically, he gives a reason to why this Mishnah should turn out to be different, and we don't have to assume it came through a Makom Ptur. And then he would have his question of why it shouldn't be shaykh. The Rishonim of Rebbe Elisha points out that based on the Rishonim and everyone in Halach Lamaisa, we reject with Mordechai's kasha, even though we give a very difficult answer how he works with the Mishnah. We paskin that clearly, if it doesn't have mechitzos, this person would still be chayav, even if he went through Makom Tor. It doesn't matter. The one who went through Rishus Rabbim Shiz Yachid, any which way you do that, even if you go through Makom, as long as you go through Makom Tor, one would be chayav on Shabbos. Now the work continues. Amar Rav Maisha, Bai Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan, the following question. Kosav Rishus Rabbim Gavos, Rabbi Rechav Arba, Mukav Lekarm, Says Rishus Yachid, Vizara Kanachav Mahu. In a situation where you have a wall in the Rishus Rabbim, it's 10 Tvachim high, but not 4 to 5, and it's surrounded by a Karmelis, and therefore that would make it a Rishus Hayachid. And that is, again, that the Karmelis itself is next to the Rishus Rabbim, and you built a wall around the Karmelis, Rashi points out. And therefore, you made the Karmelis into Rishus HaYachid. So this new enclosure is a Rishus HaYachid. And Rashi just points out, how do you have this make it a Rishus HaYachid? Either it was used for people living there, people have to be living there, or it was an area less than 2 base sas. So either way, so then you made it a Rishus HaYachid, this wall. And then the question on this wall is, v'zarek v'nach al-gabav, if someone had threw the object and landed on top of the wall, then what would be the halacha there? The Gemara says, mi'am rinan kevan de'enu rachav arba makom turu. Are we going to assume that maybe since the wall is not 4 tefachim wide, then when it's considered a makom tor, and a person's not going to be chayav if he threw on it? Oh, Dilma, the other way to analyze it is came into us or Rishus HaYachid. Since the wall that you made the karmelis is now Rishus HaYachid, kiman demalia domya. It says if we view it as the wall is ki'ilu now, is automatically given the status of Rishus HaYachid, even though the top itself is not 4 tefachim wide, because it is part of the Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara now says an answer. The Gemara says, Amar Ula says, Kal v'chomer, la'acher mosa mechita la'atzma l'kol shekin, that if the wall is able to create an area of Rishus HaYachid, so then couldn't we say kol shekin, that we see that it's clearly going to make it a Rishus HaYachid, so then kol shekin, it's going to help itself to create itself being a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore you would for sure be chayev. Now Rabbi Yashiv quotes a fascinating shaila that someone in Mimatari, Sachronim, wanted to give an answer to in the following case. If someone has a sukkah, the Shulchan Aruch rules that based on the Gemara tells us that a person is allowed to be one of the walls of the sukkah. A person is allowed to be one of the walls of the sukkah, that's halacha. Shaila during Shabbos, you don't have to be using it, but whatever, during the weekday, it's clear, a person is allowed to be one of the walls of the sukkah. So the question is, that the Achronim ask is, the guy himself was one of the walls, is he part of the sukkah or not? Is he allowed to make a bracha and allowed to eat in the sukkah or not? So they want to bring a raya from this gemara over here because it says that the kavachomer la'achir mezosim mechitza la'atzba koshikin shouldn't be nidon that he's in the sukkah. So clearly he should be in the sukkah. However, Yosha wanted to reject that raya because he says when it comes to sukkah specifically, we see that when it comes to sukkah that if there's things that are, let's say lavud, we say lavud is a sukkah we've been using a lot. So if you have lavud that's less than 3 tefachim, so then it's going to be considered as if the schach extends. But what about if you want to sit under that exact portion that's open on the schach? If you have open schach from the top of the wall to the schach, if there's a small open area which is less than 3 tefachim, are you allowed to sit under that area? No. So you're not allowed to sit under that area, even though we view it as a kosher sukkah, but that area itself, we don't view mamish that it's not like there. So maybe he says, even though we view it clearly as an inyan of mechitza, maybe it still, Rav Yashiv says, that it would not be didot as if you were in the sukkah halachically, as though the sukkah would still be kosher. Okay, very interesting argument. It comes from our Gemara. The Gemara continues now. Itmar Nami, we also learn Amar Abchia Bar Ashi Amar Rav, the Chinam Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yochanan, Kosel, Bereshus Rabbin Gavos, Rabbi Inarach of Arbok. The Brisa says explicitly the same thing. We brought a raya over here now that the name of Yitzchak Riochanan, but rather the name of Yitzchak Riochanan, that if you have a wall in the Rosh Hashanah, which is 10 tefachim high, but not 4 tefachim wide, and it's a wall, and it creates a Rosh Hashanah Ayachid, and if someone throws on it, therefore there would be chayav because of this kavachomer, that if we're going to assume that it creates a Rosh Hashanah Ayachid, then Kol Shekin for itself, it's going to be viewed, even if it doesn't have 4 tefachim wide, it's clearly going to be nidon as Now the Gemara asks a different question. The Gemara says, "By Rabbi Yochanan." Rabbi Yochanan, the following question: Bor Tisha. If you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, ba'akerman echulia, someone lifted a piece of the dirt that's going to be a tefach high from the bottom of the pit, ve'shlim al asar. So now you have a pit that is considered a depth of 10 tefachim. And now you're going to put it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Ma, what's going to be the lach over there? Do we assume that Akira's Chepet Vasiyas Mechitza Behadeh Adadeh Ka'asir? Are we assuming over here that the fact that, because again, I only had 9, which is not something that's Chayev. The only thing that's going to be Chayev is a shear of 10 Tfachim. So now is that my simultaneous action of digging it up, of taking out that little last bit of dirt and picking it into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is that considered enough? And that's going to say that I'm going to be Chayev for my simultaneous action. Or maybe we could assume that you would not be, we don't assume that there's going to be necessarily the simultaneous action over here, and you would not necessarily be chayav. The Rambam points out that isn't there an iser of mashvei gumos? So we know that digging in general, that's by told of choresh. So shouldn't we say, for sure assume a person is going to be chayav? So he says, no, maybe we're discussing where the dirt we're discussing was already very loose. If it's very loose, you're not going to be chayav for shemid areisa. So then, that's what we're discussing over here. So that's his question. Are you going to be chayav, the simultaneous action of creating the 10th tefachim to have hotza? Is this a problem of hotza or not? So now the Gemara says, he continues a further question. So if you're going to assume that, in fact, the fact that since you, when you initially started doing the Isser, you don't have an area that is considered 10 tefachim to own Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore you're not going to be chayev, bor asar, but what about if I have a pit which is 10 tefachim in the proper shear, 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide? So you're going to assume that's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but what happened? However, I put some dirt, a little drop of dirt into it, so now it's not 10 tefachim, it's there going to be less than 10 tefachim, let's say 9.5 tefachim. So what's going to be the halacha over there? Because I took something from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and now I put it into this area, which is Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is less. So the Gemara says, so then Gemara fleshes out the questions. Wow, hanachas, chepetz, v'siluk, mechitza, ba'adah, dada, ka'asuk, we'd assume that when you place the object down and you're removing the mechitza, therefore making it less, which is occurring simultaneously, they're going to be mechayev, and therefore you're going to be chayev. Oh, lo mechayev, or maybe we could assume a person should not, in fact, be chayev. Do we say that the simultaneous action over here is not going to be a problem? So do we assume that the fact that you removed its status as the Rosh Hayachid is going to make you, is it going to be the fact that it was simultaneous to when you created the Chiyuv, is that going to still say that you're going to be Chayiv or not? So Gemara wants to say now, Tivshalei Medidid. So why don't we answer Rabbi Yochanan his question based on something that he himself explained one time. What was that? This now we're going to learn in the next daf. This Mishnah, Zorek Arba Amos Makoto. Someone throws an object 4 amos against the wall, l'malam asar tefachim kizorek ba'avir. So if he throws it above 10 tefachim from the ground, it's as if he threw it in the air. L'matam asar, however, if he throws it below 10 tefachim kizorek ba'aretz, as if he threw it on the ground, v'azorek ba'aretz arba amos chayev. And if someone throws an object which it lands 4 amos away in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're going to be chayev. To which the Gemara says, v'avinam ba, we ask a question in this Mishnah. So how could it be that the Mishnah was saying that if it hits the wall below 10 tefachim, you're going to be as if he threw it on the ground, v'halonach. At the end of the day, it never came to rest 4 amos away, because it hits the wall, what's going to happen? If a wall or something that's something like that, it's going to hit a wall, then it's going to obviously bounce right back, and it's not going to have gone 4 amos. You never did anything that was 4 amos away. And the Gemara was assuming right now, Rashi points out, that we're discussing something that was exactly 4 amos away. So the Gemara now says, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Bitvela Shemena Shaninu, that we're discussing, the Mishnah was talking about a sticky fig, the fig type cake, which is sticking very much and doesn't bounce back. So we see that the person is going to be chayav for throwing the fig thing on the area of that wall. So if that's the case, so then what? So the Gemara says, "V'amai hakamai me'arba amos." The Gemara says, "But wait, according to Rabbi Yochanan, shouldn't we assume that he should be chayav because at the point where he threw it simultaneously, we're talking about something that was exactly 4 amos. So now, if that sticky thing becomes part of the wall, you've thrown less than 4 amos. So if I've thrown it less than 4 amos, then it should be at least answering my question. When simultaneous action is happening, we assume that it would in fact be chayav. So shouldn't that at least answer the question about Rabbi Yochanan himself?" So the Gemara answers, no, this wouldn't be, this, the cases are not fundamentally the same. The Gemara says that this case, hasam lo mevatalei, that in the case of the dveila shmena, when it comes to the fig cake, then in that situation, a person doesn't want it to be part of the wall. So since the person doesn't want it to be part of the wall, Rashi says, therefore it's not going to be considered as if you threw it to less than 4 amos away, because it's not as if it's part of a different wall. It's considered part of the wall, and therefore it's not going to be less than 4 amos. The Ramban just asked the kasha on this whole thing. He says, wait a second though. At the end of the day, how could a person be chayev if it didn't go 4 amos? It went less than 4 amos. Granted, it's not part of the wall, but if we're talking about, again, the Gemara was assuming we're talking about something at exactly 4 amos, and now if once I throw it and it sticks to a part of the wall, granted it's not part of the wall, but it went at the end of the day less than 4 amos. So the Ramban explains that we're discussing over here that maybe the most of the fig cake, since most of the fig cake is in the 4 amos away, we consider it as the whole. We go like Ruba Gekula of the actual fig, and we assume that since Rove is in the 4 amos, the whole thing is considered as if in the 4 amos. Very interesting. And we don't go part of the miut, and we assume we go after the Rove of this thing to assume that it's going to be chayav. Now the Gemara says, in our case though, hacha mevatalei, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, when the guy is throwing the dirt, he doesn't, the Gemara was assuming at this point that when it comes to the dirt in this situation, that he doesn't want it to be part of the pit there, so he's getting rid of it. He doesn't necessarily, he's going to abandon the dirt, and therefore it's not going to be ever part of it, and therefore it would fundamentally be different. Now the Gemara says a similar question, where it says, by Rava, Zarek v'nach al-gabi yisedos. If someone was standing in the Rishus HaRabim and he threw a board, and so then what happened? It came on the Rishus HaRabim, right? It came to the Rishus HaRabim on top of the yisedos, on top of the pegs that were 10 tefachim high. So therefore now you have you threw it onto the Rishus HaYachid. You've just created a Rishus HaYachid, in fact. Ma, what's going to be the halacha in this situation? We're assuming, again, the pegs are 10 tefachim high. They're less than 4 tefachim wide. So the surface is not Rishus HaYachid until the board comes and rests upon it, and now creates a Rishus HaYachid. So Gemara wants to know, is this simultaneous going to be chayav? The Gemara says, well, wait a second, though. We asked this question, Rabbi Yochanan, ma kibaylai, hanachat chayvet vasiyas mechitza ba'ada adadik asu. We're assuming that, if you're assuming that they come at the same time when placing this object and creating the mechitza, creating the area of a Rishus HaYachid, then Hainer Biochan, that simultaneous action was exactly Rabbi Yochanan's question. Why would the Gemara need to repeat it for us in the name of Rava? So the Gemara says, "Kamivaylei leRava." No, really, what Rava was asking, "Kigon dezarek daf vechefet al gabav." In a case where someone threw a board and the object was on it, and then you had the asedos that were in the Rishus Rabim. Actually, points that you had the pegs were in the Rishus Rabim, and there you have a Rishus Yachid. So then the question is going to be, "My, what's going to be the halacha in that situation?" Meaning, he's asking, even if we're going to assume that Rabbi Yochanan would assume that you're not chayiv in the case of the board of the placing the board in the Rishus HaYachid because it's simultaneous, is it going to be liable in this case where the object on top of the board is created another Rishus HaRabim afterwards? So Gemara is going to flesh it out. So here in this case where you have, at the end of the day, you put something on top of this table, like thing, a board with an object, or this board, so since you can assume that it's going to be like, it's going to be the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan with simultaneous action, that's the first side. However, Dilma came in the low esher, the low midlay, porsa v'hadr nayach. Maybe you can assume it's impossible the object on top of the board isn't going to lift slightly off the board, and therefore it's going to come down and rest in different times, because he has mechitza v'nachat chayvet tzami, therefore it's going to be seated at not simultaneous times, and therefore Rava's question itself was, even though they're connected, but since it's not happening at the same exact time, maybe you can assume you're going to be chayev. The Gemara says, unresolved, teiko, we don't necessarily have an answer. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, pshitali, it's clear to me that mayim agave mayim, haino hanachasan. We actually quoted this Gemara at the very beginning of the Masechta, that someone who's lifting water, and we're going to assume that is the ikar, that is going to be the ikar state of rest, so therefore, as she points out, you're going to have an akira. Because if something's not resting, you don't have an akira. You haven't removed it from something if it's moving. That was the Gemara was going to point out. Now, egos agave mayim, however, what if you have a nut that's floating on water, turning on the next someone, lava nasanacha, that would not be a situation where it's going to be in its regular in state of rest, to which the Gemara now says, by Rava. Rava says, egos betli, what is going to be the situation where we have a nut in a vessel that's holding it, a klitzaf agabe mayim, mahu. What's going to be that situation over there? The Gemara says, mi aminan basar egos alzina, we're going to go after the nut, v'hainu anach, and the nut is resting. Oh, dilma basar kliaslina, we're going to go after the vessel which is halonach, is not resting at all right now. So the Gemara says, teiku, we're going to leave that question unresolved, and therefore we don't have an answer. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up with Shem and Agabe Yayin, Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.